One of the main reasons that we continue to eat animals is that we're told we need to for our health. I'll say just a few words about this. Animal foods are high in fat and protein and low in carbohydrates. They have no carbohydrates, actually, except there's a little bit in milk. Basically, they are fat and protein. The fuels that our bodies are designed to run on are unrefined complex carbohydrates, which are found in vegetables, whole grains, and legumes. The largest and most complete scientific studies show this over and over again. It's well established that a reasonably balanced plant-based diet gives us lots of energy and ample high-quality proteins and fats as well. Overall, people who are vegetarians and vegans are far healthier than the general population. So we don't need to eat animals. In fact, we're much better off if we don't eat them. This is a large area of exploration and discussion, and there is a whole chapter on this in the book. The reason I think that some people don't feel so good when they switch from eating animals to a plant-based diet is because they make a few basic mistakes and don't really know how to prepare plant-based foods in ways that are tasty and nutritious. For one thing, they may end up eating too much vegan junk food, but there are more and more vegan convenience foods that are nutritious. In addition, whole grains, fruits, vegetables, nuts, and legumes can be combined in an endless variety of delicious and health-giving ways. The other thing is that the placebo effect is more powerful than most of us realize. We've been taught from a young age, practically from birth, that we need to eat animal foods to be strong and healthy. The placebo effect is powerful because whatever we strongly believe, especially when it's about ourselves, tends to come true. So we have to root out of ourselves, I think, this indoctrinated belief that animal foods are essential for us to be healthy. It's only true if we believe it to be true. It's interesting also that it's been shown that placebos are more powerful if they're more unpleasant. In other words, medicines that are more expensive and more bitter tasting tend to work better than ones that taste good and don't cost much. We tend to think they probably won't do much, and so they end up not doing much. Once you get out of eating animal foods, it's hard to think of anything that would be a better placebo than eating the flesh and secretions of animals. Doing so is basically very unpleasant to us when we become sensitive to what we're actually eating. I think that on a deep level we have a physiology of peace. We've been given a body that does not require any animal to suffer for it to be fed and to be happy and healthy. So when we take this gift that we've been given from this benevolent and loving universe and reject it, saying we're going to kill animals anyway and eat them, we suffer in countless ways. The fat clogs up our arteries, which aren't designed for that, and our digestive system doesn't get the fiber it needs to work properly. We can see, if we look with an open mind, that our bodies are designed much more for a plant-based diet than for an animal-based diet. So when we deny the gift of compassion we've been given and throw it back in the face of our Creator and say we're going to eat the flesh and fluids of animals anyway, we create in ourselves the conditions for sickness, for guilt, and for violence and exclusivity. We generate violence whether we kill the animals ourselves or do it indirectly by paying others to do it for us. And we eat the violence, and what we put out is bound to come back. As the old saying goes, what goes around comes around. I think we know at a deep level that we shouldn't be eating animals. It's really very disgusting to us. We think of vultures that eat decayed flesh, and we think, how awful, how gross that is. And that's exactly what we're doing when we eat a hamburger or a hot dog or a piece of fish or chicken. Because it is basically disgusting to us as human beings to eat flesh and to drink blood, we have to disguise it and hide it. We have to slaughter the animals in a special way so there's less blood in the flesh. We have to cook the flesh also, and then we cover it up with all kinds of seasonings and vegetables and sauces, and we have all kinds of ways of making it palatable. We tell our kids that burgers grow in a burger patch, like they would grow on little trees. We do all these things to cover up the reality, and that's why animal foods are such powerful placebos, because it's so disgusting to us to actually eat the flesh of animals or to drink the milk intended for their offspring. Think of it. It's hard for us to imagine getting under a cow and sucking on her teat, pushing her baby away to do it, or to imagine running after a deer and jumping on the deer with our flat little mouth and small teeth, trying to bite into the neck of the deer and bring her down and having the hot blood flowing into our mouth. It is so against us as human beings, our basic nature, that no one, not even the most avid steak lover or hardened hunter, would ever imagine doing it, or could ever do it. It would be impossible. So we're not fundamentally meat eaters. When we say that other animals eat meat, so we should too, that's pretty absurd. Lots of animals don't eat flesh at all. Our supposedly closest relatives, gorillas, bonobos, chimpanzees, and other higher primates, rarely or never eat other animals. So why do we do it? In any event, animals do things that we would never do. For example, the males of many species eat their own offspring if they can, but we would never use that as an excuse to eat our own children. So it's very telling to hear people say, well, other animals eat animals, so why can't we? Besides being unhealthy to our physical and psychological health, the practice of eating animals destroys the ecological health of our environment also. The most pervasive, ongoing environmental destruction is the devastation caused by animal-based agriculture. It's essential to understand that when we drive around and we see hundreds and thousands of acres of corn and soybeans and other grains, that it's mostly all animal feed. It takes enormous amounts of grain to feed and fatten the 10 billion land animals we kill every year in the United States for food. That same ground could be used to grow grains to feed people who are starving, or it could be allowed to go back to forest again to be much-needed habitat for wildlife. We could easily feed everybody on this planet many times over if we wanted to, if we stopped wasting the grain we grow by feeding it to animals who convert the grain to fat and toxic excrement and make the richest one-fifth of us obese, while the poorest one-fifth of our planetary population goes chronically hungry. We hear a lot about the human population explosion, but there's a much bigger and more devastating animal population explosion of factory-farmed cows, pigs, chickens, turkeys, and fish that we don't hear about. There are billions and billions of these animals that we raise for food, and they eat most of the food that we produce. That requires most of the land, fertilizer, pesticides, and water, and creates most of the water and air pollution. And these wars over oil, most people don't realize that to a large degree they're fought for the huge quantities of fossil fuels required by our petroleum-based agricultural system, which is devoted mainly to meat, dairy, and eggs. It's become a taboo to talk about our diets because the violence they require against the earth and against animals and other people is so massive that we want to keep it all well hidden. And yet, that which we most forcefully ignore always ends up controlling us the most.